So, tell them you are my sister, lying for the sake of peace. So, really, that can be, this inyan, this sugya, actually covers many different stories over the next 2 months, as we'll see shortly. There's quite, I mean, next week's parsha, we could say, tell them, tell them they weren't laughing at you, right? As we'll see in this again. There's plenty of overlaps here. People that kind of muff the truth a little bit over these upcoming parashios, and there's a few sources on this topic, and we'll see a few and see how where that comes down. It's an important topic, something that comes up rather often in all of our lives, and perhaps more often than we'd like to admit. It's important to know what we say about this. So, Va'amar Rabbi Yilam, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The first source of Gemara in Yevamos. How it gets to this topic is interesting as well, but the statement goes from Rabbi Yilam, the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Mutter lo la'adam l'shanos b'davar ha'shalom. That is permissible for a person to change the truth for the purpose of peace. Meaning it's mutter, it's permissible, it's allowed, you can do it if you like to. It sounds like it's permission. Shneamar avicha tziva, ko tomru li Yosef, ana sana. So what's that talking about? So that's the very end of Sefer Bereishis, after Yaakov has passed away. So after Yaakov passed away, so they bury Yaakov, and the brothers go over to Yosef and say, oh Yosef, we have something to tell you. That before our father passed away, he said that you shouldn't hurt us. We know that whole thing with the pit and with the coat and with all that kind of, selling down to Mitzrayim, Right? Our father said, you're not allowed to take revenge on that on us. To which Yosef, responds by saying, oh, I never would have thought to do such a thing that didn't enter my mind, but, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what's the problem with that statement? The problem is, the father never said it, right? Yaakov never said it. So the brothers are going to Yosef and say, Dad said you never told us to take revenge on us. Yosef says, Yosef doesn't know if it's true or not true. He says, don't worry about it. Either way, I would never do anything for you. But the Gemara says, aha, there's a proof to say, right, mutter, that it's permissible to change to lie for the sake of peace.
How do you know the father never said it?
Right, so we don't know. The Gemara makes this point. The Gemara is part of Torah about that. We see that there's a source in the Chumash.
This prefaced, I think, by saying they were scared, so they told them this.
Right. There is an interesting. It's actually part of one of these sources here. Rabbi Nassan Omer Mitzvah. Rabbi Nassan says it's a mitzvah. Shneamar Vayomer Shmuel Eche Leich V'Shama Shaul V'Heiragani. Right, so what is this talking about? This is talking about the middle of Shmuel Aleph, where Shmuel is told to go and anoint David, meaning Shaul was king, Shaul didn't work out very well. Shmuel, forget it, it's enough, go anoint David. So Shmuel says, well, that's great. The problem is, I'm going to be walking around with this crown and this vial of oil, and Shaul may find me, and he's going to ask, what are you doing with that? And he's not really going to buy the haircut excuse, right? It's not going to work. He's going to know. So Hashem says, oh no, tell you bring a goat with you, you tell him you're offering a korban, and then everything will be all right. But Hashem tells him, right, this is what you should do. Now on that pasuk, the Aruch HaNer, which is a sefer on Yevamos as well as several other mesechtos, asks, wait a second, you'd be allowed to lie there for a different reason. Why would he be allowed to lie there? Because what did he say? He said, Shaul is going to hear about this and he's going to kill me. And not only is he going to kill me, he's going to have every right to kill me because I am literally being Mori B'malchus right now. Right? So he's allowed to lie. Not because of lying necessarily because he wants to keep the peace. He's allowed to lie because he wants to keep his life. Right? So that's what the Gemara in Yevamos, that's what the Aruch HaNer asks. Aruch HaNer responds by saying, come on, Hashem told him to do it. Hashem's not shluchi mitzvah inu nezikin kind of thing. Nothing's going to happen to him. Hashem told him to do it. It's going to happen. It's all right. He shouldn't have to worry about that. So now it's just a question of, okay, how do we maintain as much shalom as possible? So Hashem tells him, to tell him something else, tell him a lie, and everything will be all right. Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, one more, says, Gadol HaShalom, how great is Shalom? She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo, that even a Kadosh Baruch Hu lies once in a while. Demi'ikra Ksiv Vaduniza Kain, Uvasov Ksiv Vaniza Kanti. Right? The Pasuk says, right, when Hashem tells Sarah that you're going to have a child, so Sarah's response is, if you look carefully, I'm so old. And Avram is so old. So Hashem says, don't worry about it, it'll be all right. You know, fine. Hashem goes to Avram and presents him with the idea. And Avram says, well, what does my wife think about this? To which Hashem says, well, she was a little concerned that she's a little old, but don't worry about it. We'll take care of that. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously left out, the idea that she also said that you were old. Why did you leave that out? Because that might have been a little bit insulting to Avram. Sarah herself said that he was old. Okay, so there's three cases here. A, really, there's really two opinions. A, is it permissible to do? Or B, do you have to do it, right? It might be actually a chiv, it might be an obligation to lie for the sake of peace, according to the second idea here. Okay, that's Gemara 1. Gemara 2 is perhaps more famous, or I guess it's sung at every wedding. And it goes like this: Tana Rabbanan Ketzad Merakdin Lifnei HaKala. Right? How do you dance in front of the kala? And they point out that it's, you know, not the point, that the Gemara is talking about a case where, what exactly are they asking? They're not asking, you know, how do you put one foot in the back of the other in the dance. It's asking about what do you say in front of the chassan about his kala. I mean, what do you say to the kala? And it's specifically, the Gemara wants to know, what do you say to the chassan when she's not so ay ay ay? Right? What do you do in that case?
So
that
would become a song.
Right, that would become a song.
Ay 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 has a lot of musical potential. Especially yes. In Judaism.
Yes, well, one would be surprised what became songs. And this is one of them, right? This is one of those little awkward songs. Anyways, so Ishamai says, "Well, what do you do, Kala Kamoshi? You're not allowed to. You can't lie. You tell it as it is, right? You know, what do you think of her? Well, she's got a nice face, some long teeth, a little bit of a long nose, nice personality, kind of thing." Okay. Basil Omer Kala Na V'Chasuda. Basil says, "No, you say she's very nice. She has very nice chesed. Everything is fine." So Amar Lahen Beisham LeBeisil Harisha Haisa Chigeres O Suma. Omrin lo kala na v'chasuda, v'atorah amra midavar sheker tirchak. Right. So Bishamai says to Phil, "What do you mean? She's lame and she's blind and lame. You're going to say that she's wonderful and everything is nice and everything's perfect." The Torah says midavar sheker tirchak. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Right. Stay far away from falsehood. Now, by the way, it's an interesting idea. This is, in a way, if there is any prohibition in the Torah of lying outside of a courtroom environment, this is pretty much what you're limited to. And if you think about it, that's not exactly a very resounding commitment. I mean that's not exactly the way most mitzvahs sound, right? It's not stay far away from shatness, right? Stay far away from the vela, right? It's don't eat the vela. So the meaning of this pasuk, whether that makes it either more meaningful or less meaningful, is an interesting question. In this book that I have here, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, one of my Rebbeim and Chaverim, so he has an entire chapter on the topic of, entitled "Not to be brutally honest." Oh, that's the one we're doing. Yeah, more than the best policy, honesty. And he had another, which he discusses that question. And his next chapter is not to be brutally honest, lying for the sake of peace. So good, interesting English reading that you have to actually lean forward to read, not that you can lean back to read, because it's somewhat technical. Anyways, so he quotes this, so he brings up, what exactly does that mean, Midvar Sheker Tirchak? So anyways, so Bishamai asked Basil, how could you lie? You're not allowed to lie. So Amr Lahem Bishamai, so Basil responds, L'divreichem, according to you, Mishalokach Mekach Ra Min HaShuk, if somebody buys something that's bad from the Shuk, if somebody makes a bad purchase, so Yishabchenu Be'enav or Yiganenu Be'enav, do you make it sound nice, or do you make it sound bad? Meaning, somebody comes home with a new car, and it's kind of not so nice, right? So do you say, nice car, or do you say, I can't believe you bought that? So So Bishamay responds by saying, no, of course you make it nice. Of course you make it sound nice. So Mikan Amruch Chachamim, from here the Chachamim say, Liolam Tehedaito Shel Adam Urevesim Amrios. Always a person should look to have peace amongst people. So, I mean, this Gemara just has several issues. I mean, what was Bishamay thinking? I mean, I understand what Bishamay is thinking if you're going to draw a hard line and say you're never allowed to lie. You're just not allowed to lie, and it's too bad she's going to feel bad, but you're not allowed to do it, right? But Beis Hillel, but the fact that Beis Hillel asked the question based on a car, Beis Shammai says, "Oh, you're right. I would never be mevaza the person's car. I mean, that would be mean." Right? So Beis Hillel, to which Beis Hillel responds with, "Oh, well, then now you understand. Like, of course, you wouldn't do that to the person's wife either." To which Rishamai was like, "Oh, I get it now, right?" It's a little difficult to grasp what the shakla vitari here is. Like, what was Beis Shammai's havamina, and how does Beis Hillel disprove that havamina? Okay, so that itself that's a question. We will come back to this Gemara. I'm not sure we're going to resolve the inherent Gemara questions, but what we learn out from there is important to keep in mind. We'll get back to that shortly. So when we discuss this idea of lying for the sake, whenever we talk about an isser that is in a way docha, that we push off, like for instance Shabbos, right? So if somebody is ill on Shabbos, so we push off Shabbos in order to save a person's life, right? And that happens with plenty of mitzvahs, right? We push off the mitzvah in order to save a person's life, or other types of things, you know, other things that will push off a mitzvah. So you always have to ask your question in those circumstances. What does it mean that we're pushing it off? Is it that the mitzvah is as if it doesn't exist? Or is it that, well, it exists, but we're not doing it right now? Meaning, yes, it's still Shabbos. I mean, so the classic question by Shabbos is, well, now I have to take care of a person that's ill. So what does it mean I have to take care of the person that's ill? Does that mean that I can now do whatever I want? Meaning Shabbos doesn't exist right now. I can go do everything for this person, regardless of whether, or the person can do it for himself, right? Regardless of what Yisurim are involved, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not included. Or do we constantly have to be mindful of minimizing the damage when it comes to Shabbos? That's the question that comes up. It's called Hutra versus Dechuya. Hutra means that it all goes away. Dechuya means that it's being pushed off temporarily for the benefit of whatever higher value one has to accomplish right now. So the same question could be asked with regards to this idea of lying, right? When we say that you should lie in honor of Shalom or for the sake of Shalom, so does one say, oh, the truth doesn't exist anymore, meaning our entire goal, our 100% goal is to maintain peace, is to maintain peace at any cost, and that's more important than lying, right? That's not just more important, the truth doesn't exist anymore, right? Shalom is more important than the truth, right? There's several governmental regimes that might make such a claim, right? The truth doesn't matter, because the most important thing is that law and order is maintained. Or to say no, that you don't want to, you nudge things, you push the truth away as little as possible in order to maintain shalom, but really one wants to maintain peace. Or one could perhaps even say, which is probably the first mand amar in the Gemara here, is like, you do whatever you want. I mean, you could tell the truth, or you could. You have a choice in the matter. And most people will always, oh, shalom, shalom is important, right? But one has a choice in the matter. So what is this? Where is this conflict found? So there's this pasuk in Zechariah that is, I guess, the most famous pasuk in Zechariah, where the first half of the pasuk lists off all of the fast days. This is actually the source for the four fast days over the course of the year that we keep Zecher L'Churban, right? Tzom HaRevi is Shivas HaRetamuz, right? The fourth month from Nisan. Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av. Tzom Shavi is Tzom Gedalia. And Tzom Asiri is my birthday, Asar B'Tevis. So Yel Veis Yehuda L'Sasun L'Simcha Mo'adim Tov. So Zechariah is giving a nevuah, right, that it's going to be for the house of Yehuda days of joys and gladness and holidays, and everything will be nice. Now, if you actually look in the Navi, I believe there is a break there. there was an actual break. I'm not sure. Is there a Tanakh in here? It's not, no, don't go and get it. It's okay. I think there's a break, I'm not sure. But it didn't come out of the Bar Ilan, that's why I'm not sure. But anyways, the Pasuk then concludes with the words, Vaha Mesva Shalom Ahavu. Right? And God, truth and shalom, truth and peace, is beloved. So beloved by who? It's beloved by God, right? It's beloved by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's beloved by us, right? So the plan is, what did the whole pasuk have to do with one another, right? So at the end of the days, when the fast days all become moadim, right? Emes v'shalom ahavu. It will be the time when we understand, right, that the truth and peace come into, both come into, how do you say? Are able to coexist.
In harmony.
Excellent. Thank you. Phew. Right? They actually exist in harmony. That Emes and Shalom, the Midah of truth and the Midah of peace, are actually going to coexist together in harmony. Right? That's going to be at the end of the days. Until that point, so very often we see conflicts, right? Emes and Shalom don't coexist very well. So the question is, so they even point that within those words, does that mean MS and Shalom are both love, beloved, and sometimes you go MS and sometimes you go Shalom, right? Or is it, there is truth. However, Shalom is beloved, right? Shalom is what is what is love, and Shalom actually carries the day, which goes back to that issue, right? Of, you know, does Shalom carry the day, or does one have a choice of doing MS and Shalom? There is a book, the Sefer Yerayim, Minyan HaMitzvos, the Council of the Mitzvos in the Torah. And in his mitzvah of Shaker, which is, by the way, an interesting thing, that he actually counts lying as one of the mitzvahs. That's not everybody agrees to that, right? But in his mitzvah of that shall tell the truth, he writes as follows: Aval Shaker She'eno Bali Deira Lo Yishira Torah Alav. Right, that Shaker that won't lead to bad things. Lo Yishira Torah Alav. The Torah never asered. The Torah never commanded upon. The davar lamed minyano shebarasha ra lebrios hakasim edaber. Because the what we learn, that it's talking about things that are bad to people, right? The chsim midvar sheker tirkach v'naki v'tzadik al tarug kilo atzdik rasha. Right. That's the full pasuk is talking about other things that you're not supposed to do that are evil. Right, that's the, you know, that's not pasuk, but tzadik al tarug kilo etzdik. That's not a pasuk. V'naki v'tzadik al tarug kilo etzdik rasha. I'm not sure what that last phrase is doing there. But midvar sheker tirchak, the pasuk is talking midvar sheker tirchak, that be, you know, do the right thing, right? Stay away from falsehood, because that will cause bad things, because that will cause rishus, because that will cause evil things. But if it's not going to cause evil things, then there's no permission. I mean, the Yerayim is going to an extreme. He's saying not only, right, he's saying it doesn't exist. I mean, there's no mitzvah to tell the truth if it's going to lead to bad things. It's only a mitzvah to tell the truth, because the truth usually leads to good things. Right? So, Richard Nixon was probably a fan of this. Right? That was his, or several of our other esteemed political officials. Okay, so fine. So that is an interesting question, right? Which is really might be the dispute between Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Rav Nosson, that Gemara in Yevamos, right? Is it permissible or is it a mitzvah? Is one commanded to do it? Okay, so now, how do we paskin in this dispute? How do we understand this dispute? So there's a question on how to understand this Gemara in Yevamos, and not the Gemara in Ksuvos, the second Gemara, the Gemara that talks about Ketzem Rakhtim Lifnei Akala, that Gemara. So what exactly does it mean, Kalina v'chasud, that she should look very nice? Right? What does that mean? What does that mean? So Tosfos says on that guy, source number 5, Kala kamos shehi, v'im yishpa mum, yishtaku v'lo yishabchuha. Right? So maybe it means if she has a mum, just be quiet and don't say anything. Okay, inami, or what it means is yeshabchu bedaver na'ah sheyeshba kagon be'enei o biadeha imeim yefos, right? Or you say something nice about her, kagon be'enei, that she has nice eyes or she has nice hands, if they are actually nice. Now, who is he quoting here? This is Beis Shammai, right? right? Right. What Beishamai says, you kalakamoshi, how you say you call it as you see it, right? So what does it mean? It means you're supposed to point out the fact that she's got,
cross-eyed.
That she's cross-eyed? So no, you're not supposed to point out that she's cross-eyed, right? Just don't talk about her eyes, right? Find something else that you could focus on, right? And say she's got, nice hands, right? She would make a great Allstate model, right? She would be a great, what?
Have they have models that just use
right. So she would be perfect for that, right? That would be one. Right, so that's Beishamai's opinion. Beis Hillel omrim, no, yishabchu legamri. No, you make her, you say, oh, everything's beautiful. What do you mean she's cross-eyed? No, it's great. Cross-eyed girls are wonderful. You say everything is nice. Yishabchu legamri. Dechesem askirin mashiyeshba lishabeach. Miklal de Charlignai. Because if you only say, well, she has very nice hands, right? The guy's going to pick up on, that's not really a compliment, right? That's not going to last very far. So Basil Shita is that you go all out. And it sounds like you really go out. You really go all out and you completely fudge it. Not just fudge it, you completely tell the lie. And I would add in that if you look in that Gemara, the Gemara seems to be saying, right? If before you learned that Gemara in Yevamos, that it's a choice, mitzvah, a choice, whatever. If I would just ask you to read the Gemara in Ksuvos, does that sound like a mitzvah or does that sound like a choice that one can do? Right? Does that sound like something you have to do or something that, well, if you can tell the truth or you can, you have an opt out, right?
So it's not halacha that's learned from this.
What?
It's not halacha.
Right. So it sounds like from that Gemara, that's the way you got to do it. What is the mitzvah of being mesameach chasan? It's telling him his wife is gorgeous and wonderful and everything, even if she's not gorgeous and wonderful and everything. Right? That's the... Gorgeous would be a good adjective that you wouldn't call a man. Right? Men.
Yes, that's right.
Last night. I used my mashallah from last night. The boys didn't object, though. They said, you're right, you don't call men, you don't call women handsome. Aaron, you could weigh in. Oh, all right. Anyways, so how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So mitzvah l'sameach chasan v'kala, ul'rakol l'faneha, right? So that's when the quotes are, when this sugya makes it into Shulchan Aruch. So it sounds like it's a mitzvah to be mesameach chasan and kala, and to dance in front of her, v'lomar shehi na'a v'chasuda, right? And to say that she is very nice, and is a big balas chasan, etc. Perish, what does that mean? V'tisachin v'chesed lefanav, right? Like, it's by Esther, v'tisachin v'chesed lefanav mikol... I'm not sure what he's saying there, okay. Right, because that she is very nice, and was balas chasan, etc. And he concludes by saying, "Afilu einu na'a," even if she's not na'a. So, however you want to interpret the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch is clearly saying, "Say she's na'a, even if she's not na'a." I mean, he's basically saying you lie, right? You completely are permitted to tell the falsehood. And in fact, he says mitzvah, right? That it's a mitzvah; one is commanded to do so. Now, if one looks carefully at that sugya and ksuvos, and you look at the other Rishonim, it is not unanimous, right? Rashi. On that sugya says kamos shehi, right? What does that mean? Lefi yofya v'chashivusa mekalsanosa, right? When Beishamai say you say what she's very nice, and chasuda, what does chasuda mean? Rashi says chutcha chesed mashuchaleha, right? She must have some strand of kindness that is upon her, right? She's very mean, right? Like the famous story that the rabbi gets up at the evil person's funeral and can't think of anything to say in his eulogy and asks, does anybody here have anything nice to say about Shmerel? Somebody gets up and says his brother Beryl is worse, right? So there's no there's something that you'll be able to find to say nice about everybody. Rashi's basically saying, what? How could you say she's a balas chesed? She's not a balas chesed. Like, come on, I'm sure she's a balas chesed in some way. There's she parks her car on the side. Whatever, you can find something that she does that is nice, and therefore it's not a complete lie. Yes.
I think Rashi uses this exact phrase by Esther. And so, of course, what it really means, it doesn't seem that it means that she's pretty mean, and once in a while she does something nice. It seems like it has a different meaning than that. I'm not sure what this Rashi really means. It's, I think he uses the exact same, or very similar language for Esther when she comes before the king.
Really? So you're saying Rashi's not saying...
I don't know what that means, but it by Esther it would be hard to say that it's a...
Okay, so Rashi's not the only one who says that. There are other Rishonim that give that same kind of mashal. The Rashba and the Prisha and the Chasam Sofer. As it says in this article, in this obscure Torah journal, from entitled Shari Tzion, collection of people from Yeshiva Shari Mevaser Tzion. So there's an article here from Yonah Naftali Gross, some guy entitled Ketzad Meshakrin Lifnei Hakala. So how do you lie, right? That was the article. Anyways, so I'm entitled to use this. Anyways, it's my own notes. So there are other Rishonim that say along the lines of Rashi.
What's Mikalsin mean? Sorry. Mikalsin and the Rashi.
Chut shel chesed.
Mechashivusa
Mikalsin. Mechashivusa Mikalsin. That her chashiva.
Praise, I think.
Okay.
The Kaleis.
Sounds good. Okay, so Chushal Chesed Mashukhala. And by the way, there's another whole list of Rishonim and Achronim that explain that how could you say she's Nav Chasuda, right? Isn't the argument lying? No, you're not really lying. The Chasim thinks that she's Nav Chasuda, so you're just reaffirming, meaning anything that's going to be subjective, you can't really lie on something that's subjective, right? You know, that's not.
Okay. Yeah,
that's true.
All right, right. So that's the way other Rishonim or other, let's see, the Marsha, Maharam Shif, the Yavits, and others. Okay, so they, fine. So now.
Most colors manage to look good on the wedding day somehow. I've noticed over the years.
So that is one. So we
have the discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and you have like a resolution to.
I mean, what was Beis Shammai thinking?
Yeah, I mean, because one would think that, particularly with a human, that a person, that you would
be more
want to be more sensitive and just not want to say. Actually, look for the good points. Or
right. What was Beis Shammai actually
saying? Beis Shammai says, "Well, the car is. Oh, I wouldn't do that to the car. You know. Well, I mean,
right.
Beis Shammai is not
really
that insensitive.
Right.
You know.
So, there are some who employ. I got to remember how it works though. What's going on with the car? I mean, this in the back of my head. What's going on with the car? So, when Beis Hillel turns to Beis Shammai. It says, "Well, you know, would you say that? No? It doesn't fit." You have something to say
I would start by saying that the issue of not saying anything about the car is that the purchase has already been made. Okay, it's not so much that you're concerned with making him or the car feel bad. It's that at this point, criticizing is pointless. Okay? He comes to you and he says, "I just spent $20,000 on this horrifying looking piece of art," okay? Mm-hmm. And if you say, "Yuck," okay, there's no point, okay? So I guess one way you could look at it is you could say that the chatan, the groom, right, has already agreed.
Yes, he already has.
He's already, it's a wedding.
Right.
It's a wedding day. It's a done deal.
Right.
It's a done deal. So if you had something critical to say about the kala, the time for you to speak up was earlier and not now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so much that Beit Hillel is. It changes the focus of this, because I think we generally interpret this as being focused on the way the kala is going to be feeling, okay? But in this, in this, it seems that the I now is not the time to try and create a crisis of buyer's remorse.
Right. There's more than there. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me. There is more to it than that. Also, as they point out that why does it say shuk? Why doesn't it say minachen v'ni? Chen v'ni is a store. Why does it have to be from the shuk? So you buy something from the flea market, you can't return it. Right, so that's the muscle of the giving to Beis Shammai. Now, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai also have another machlokas at the very end of Maseches Gittin. Right after you've learned 80 blot of Maseches Gittin, so finally the Mishnah asks, by the way, when is a husband allowed to divorce a wife? We didn't really cover that yet. And there's a machlokas there between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that basically she's got to have an affair. That's otherwise you're not allowed to divorce her. And Beis Hillel says no. That's where Beis Hillel says even if she burns the soup, right? That's that. If you have a reason to divorce her, so you divorce. You know, like it's not bound to it like that. So I don't remember who says this, but Beis Hillel turns to Beis Shammai and says, Beis Shammai, maybe if you held like me, you'd have something to stand on. But according to you, that he's stuck right now. Right, so then it's like he just came back from the shuk, and he's not going to be able to return it. So Beis Shammai, you're according to me, so maybe you'd have something to talk about because you know he has the right to divorce her if he needs to, etc., etc. But you don't. You Beis Shammai, he really is stuck. So therefore, you don't have a right to say it. Now you're still stuck with what was Beis Shammai thing? Like, why didn't that occur to Beis Shammai earlier? Yeah, that question is still there. Right now I don't have. You can take a look at Maseches. Kuvis and see what's going on there. Okay, so we have this dispute of whether it is a mitzvah, whether it's not a mitzvah. It seems to be indicated from the Mishnah in the Gemara and Ksuvis that it is required. It is a machlokas about exactly what is required. Meaning, is it required to outright lie, like Tosos and the Shulchan Aruch said, or like Rashi and other Rishonim seems to say and other Rishonim do say that it is you say a white lie, etc. That's the questions that we have. So the Rambam writes. The Rambam, this is in Hilchos Gezeila V'Aveda. Why in the world is this in the mitzvah in the section of Gezeila V'Aveda? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia has another statement about this lying for the sake of peace. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses, right, when you, the second parak of Bava Metzia is all about returning lost things, right? Shavas Aveda, right? So one of the things Gemara there says, one of the requirements is that for certain things, if a Talmud Chacham comes along and says, that's mine, so you believe him. Under certain circumstances, you don't have to make him give a proof, you don't have to make him give a simon, you don't have to make him give a sign, right? He says it's his, we trust him, it's his. So that's great. So how do you know who's a Talmud Chacham, right? A guy shows up with smicha, therefore just because you pass a couple of yirah de'evachinas means that you're a tzaddik, right? Why should that be? So how do you know who's a Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara there says, well, you take a look in the Rambam, which is really a quote from the Gemara, or at least saying what the Gemara said. It means that somebody who learns a lot and never tells a lie. Right, that's what we're using, right? I guess for those under those circumstances, that's really what you're looking for, someone who tells the truth. So when, except for Ella b'divrei shalom, o b'mesechta, o b'mita, o b'bayi shehu misarich bo. Except for when it comes to peace, or when it comes to mesechta, meaning what he's learning or how much he has learned. Meaning someone says, how much have you learned? You're not supposed to... you're allowed to say less than really you have. Obemita, which is where he slept last night and things having to do with that nature. Obebayishahu misarichbo. Or what house were you staying at? And you ask some guy, oh, where are you going for supper tonight? You know, so he's allowed to not tell the truth and because he doesn't want everybody to want to go to that person. And that's what the Gemara says. He's allowed to lie in order to save the wallet of whoever his host is. Now, what's interesting is that Gemara only says three of those. Right? The Gemara Bava Metzia only says the last three and leaves out Shalom, which is the question. Right? That Gemara Bava Metzia, it says, well, Talmud Chacham, he only lies for these three things. What happened to Shalom? Right? But there's two other Gemaras that we've learned that you are allowed to for that. So, Rishonim all take a stand on that. Rambam, you see here, just puts it all together and says, no, Shalom's also on the list, it's just learned in a different Gemara, everybody knows Shalom. Other Rishonim say, no, those three are all related to Shalom. They're all subcategories of Shalom, it's really the same thing, right? one could possibly say these maybe you have to show them, you don't have to. But there are ways of working that out. But the Rambam clearly just puts it all together. So Ketza, what does it mean? And he gives it Haya Osik Maseches Nidavar Mikvos on Ishon. He says, I'm learning in Shos Kadesh Lo Yishalu Oso She'elos B'Nanina, so he won't be asked a question in Hilchos Nida. Oshia, I'm not sure why he's allowed to do that, but another time. Oshia Shem Mita Zuvar Mebezuani Yashon Shema Yimsa Sham Kari. Right? He says, I didn't sleep or I slept here, but perhaps they might find Kari over there and whatever. Osha Nisarech Yitzel Shimon V'Amra Yitzel Ruvain Ani Misareach. I'm not sure Ruvain's going to be so happy about that, but I was saying Ruvain's house Kadesh Lo. So I won't be a bother for the person that he's staying. Fine. Okay. Oh, shehevi shalom bein adam lechaveru, that will bring peace bein adam lechaveru. V'hosif v'goreya kadei lechavavan zel lezeh. Right. And he adds or subtracts in order so that they will like each other more. Hariza mutter. That's permissible. So what does the Rambam seem to be saying? He seems to be saying it's mutter. He seems to be saying it's permissible. So, what do you do with that? What do we do with that? So the Rambam disagreeing with Shulchan Aruch, right? So this Rambam is quoting Shulchan Aruch as well, I think it's quoted. But what is the Shulchan Aruch by Chassan and Kala seem to say it's a chiyuv, an obligation, and the Rambam seems to say it's a
pious practice,
etc. Right.
This sounds more like what Aaron HaKohen did, right? Where you had the two people who were angry at each other, and he says, Ruvain really wants to make up with you. He feels very terrible about what happened. And then he goes to Shimon and he says, oh, he says the other one, right?
Right.
And so it's not so much that he tells a lie as that he just kind of smooths the ground for reconciliation to take place. Which I guess in the case of you're giving a praise that is untrue,
right?
Okay, that's a little bit more radical in a certain way, I think.
Giving praise that's untrue is a little bit more.
In other words, here you
right. Okay.
Here you have two people. You want reconciliation to take place. Your assumption is that they really want to reconcile, but somehow they're having difficulty getting over their own feelings.
Right.
And so you ease the path.
Okay. But whatever he's doing here, it only says mutter. It only says
right.
He could do it. It doesn't say that he has to do it. As opposed to the Gemara in Ksuvis, in front of the Chassan and Kala, where it seems to say that you have to do it. So one thing that I thought of, suggested in this article here, is that the however, you know, Tosfos says that you're outright lying, and in a way, Shulchan Aruch might be saying that also. However, it could be that Shulchan Aruch is not necessarily saying that. Plus, remember, we said that there are a few Meforshim on that Gemara that say, what does it mean that you're saying Na'eh? No. In his eyes, she's Na'eh, right? There are ways that this is not a complete direct lie. There is a way of ways to say that this is a white lie. There are ways of saying, you know, you mean something else, you're saying this. So it could be that, what's the Rambam talking about? The Rambam is saying is when you're going to say an outright lie. If you're going to say an outright lie, so we're not going to say you're obligated to do that. You have the right to say, I'm going to tell the truth, whatever may come. But if you have the ability to not say an outright lie, and thereby preserve shalom, right? So then maybe that's what you have an obligation for. That you would be required to do. Right? I'd be required to keep as much within the truth as possible in order to preserve shalom. If it's going to be an outright lie, so then fine, I'm not. That I have a choice of doing, and I'll decide one way or the other. But when I have a choice of getting out of it a little bit, so then I have the ability to get out of it a little bit. The problem is the Rambam doesn't say that anywhere. The problem is, right, to say that within the Gemara makes sense. To say that within the Rambam is a little bit difficult, but then you would think that someplace else, maybe in Hilchos, in Nashim someplace, the Rambam would invoke that, or someplace else, in Hilchos Deos, or the Rambam would invoke that idea. The Rambam never invokes that idea. So it is a problem with the Rambam, but one could perhaps put together the Gemaras in such a fashion. There is a... Is that me?
No, it's me.
Okay. So there is a... there is one more possibility, which is that Gemara in Ksuvos, where it discusses, the husband and wife on the first day, etc. So that entire Amud is one of the stranger Amudim in Jess, because it basically discusses a lot of what seems like chatayim that were done in order to be mesameach chasan and kala, right? So, I mean, we can maybe get an idea of what, you go to modern weddings, you might get an idea of what some of these could be. But it seems like they talk about so one line that the Gemara says here, you could look at the Rush quotes the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mutter lehistakel bekala kol shiva kedei lechaval baila. That it's permissible to look at her, I mean, not just to look at her, but to stare at her and to admire her for all 7 days, so that the husband feels good about who he married. Right? Now, the Gemara then says, "Vali silchas hakavase." Right? We don't pask in that way. Right? That's not what we don't recommend that. However, so that's what the Gemara says. So comes the Rush and says, "V'yesh omrim." It's unclear who he's quoting, but he's quoting someone else. "V'yesh omrim dechol shiva aser." About yom rishon shu ikra chiv veitzel bayal mutter. Yeah, for all 7 days, you know. But the first day, it would be okay. First day, you'd be allowed to. Great. So does that make into Shulchan Aruch? Deem lo kein miyayit sheyatz the behin numa v'rosh ha-parua. Because otherwise, who's going to know? There's a Gemara that talks about how they mentioned that she walked out with her hair, whatever. They say, how do you... Otherwise, who would know? Right? If no one's out of luck, I don't know, who would ever know? And they wouldn't be able to make such statements. So the Gemara then says, v'leisa. It's not true. That filu sha'achas asu liistakel el kevet sheroen hainu ma sha'asu ba'omrim zuhi shel kala plonis hainu edus. Rather, what they do is the hinuma was the something that she wore, like the veil or something that she wore before, or the something like that. Something that they are testifying to the fact that she actually got married. So they're saying, well, they see it someplace else. Right, so therefore they would be able to testify about it. So what does that mean? So perhaps one could read into this Rush that we do loosen the rules a little bit on the day of a wedding in order to be machaviv, in order to do these kinds of things, but we don't loosen it everywhere. We just loosen it as much as necessary in order to do so. So, in this case, it says, well, take a look at her on day one, right? That way you'll be able to milchav her to baila. But then the Rush says, well, don't do that. Why? Because there will be other ways to be machavev her to baila. Right? Because there are other ways to accomplish that feat, so therefore we're not going to permit you to do it. Meaning what? That if there were no other ways to accomplish that feat, you would be allowed to do it. That's what it sounds like. Right, so there, it sounds like we do overlook several, possible isurim in the interest of being mechaviv in order to increase the love between the chasan and the kala. So therefore, it's possible to say that it's a special halacha by chasan and kala that day. We're going to say you have to lie because it's that important. But it's possible to say that might be the one exception to the rule. But in other areas, one is not obligated to do so. So that's what we're left. It's still unclear whether one's obligated to do so or whether one is optional to do so. Take a look. Yeah, take a look. You're going to take a look in Megillah or in... Oh, you're looking at Gemara Ksuvos. I'm going to take a look at something else. But anyways, that's the end of the story. So you have these two Gemaras, whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's a reshus. You have the Gemara in Ksuvos that seems to say it's a mitzvah, but there are several possible reasons to say that that's not necessarily binding on every other area of halacha, either because that's only talking about a white lie, or perhaps because that's only an exception for a wedding day in that unique circumstance, but in other cases it wouldn't carry. So one should be careful about this, right? It's important to keep in mind. That's not the ideal, and Emir Sashem will get to the day of MS Vishalom, and they'll be equal and harmonious together. Thank you.